Morning Watch, The Grace of God and the Economy of God, Week 2, Experiencing the Grace of God and the Economy of God. Monday, Related Verses, Ephesians 1, verse 10, Unto the economy of the fullness of the times, to head up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth in Him. Ephesians 3, verse 9, and to enlighten all that they may see what the economy of the mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God who created all things. Hebrews 1 verse 2 has at the last of these days spoken to us in the Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the universe. Colossians 1 verses 16 through 18. Because in Him all things were created, in the heavens and on the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and unto Him. And He is before all things, and all things cohere in Him. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that He Himself might have the first place in all things. Ephesians 4, verses 13 through 16. Until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, at a full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be no longer little children tossed by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching and the sleight of men, in craftiness with a view to a system of error. But holding to truth and love, we may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, Christ, out from whom all the body, being joined together and being knit together through every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation and the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. Related reading. God's eternal economy is to gain a group of people that He may dispense Himself into them to be their life and everything, so that they may be joined to Him as one, be filled and occupied with Him, and be one entity with Him on the earth, to be the body of Christ, the church, for His expression. This expression begins in the church today, proceeds to the millennial kingdom in the next age, and continues in the New Jerusalem in eternity. For this, God created the universe. In this universe, there is the earth, and there are various living creatures upon the earth. All these things were created for the existence of the man whom God created. Hence, man is the center of God's created universe. The Christian life is the life in which the Christians live Christ and magnify Him corporately in their locality as a local church, to be a local expression of Christ as a part of the universal body of Christ. The Christian life should not be just an individual Christian life. The Christian life is not just to live an ethical life with the human virtues as the salt of the earth and the light of the world, for the glory of God, but to live a life that is Christ Himself with His divine attributes expressed in His human virtues, to be a part of His organic body for the universal consummation of the eternal economy of God. In the church life, we live a life that is Christ Himself with His divine attributes expressed in His human virtues. His attributes are divine, but His virtues are human. The human virtues are to manifest the divine attributes, and the divine attributes are to be expressed in the human virtues. This is for us to be a part of His organic body. We live a life that is Christ Himself, not just for the individual Christian life, but for the body life. We live as parts of His organic body for the universal consummation of the eternal economy of God. We have seen that Psalm 1 is not concerning God's economy. It concerns only the personal benefit of the individual godly man. But Psalm 2 is altogether concerning God's economy. This psalm says that God made Christ his anointed. God set up Christ as his king to inherit all the nations and to possess the earth, to gain a great kingdom on the earth for God's economy. We have to believe in such a Christ, taking him as our refuge. We also have to love him, to kiss him. This concerns God's economy. All that most Christians think about is their personal benefit. To them, salvation is only a matter of either going to heaven or perishing in the lake of fire. There is no consideration about God's economy. But Psalm 2 reveals that Christ is altogether for God's economy. We have to believe in him, to take refuge in him, and we have to love him, to kiss him. We also have to admit that much of our consideration is for our personal benefit. We may consider whether we will receive a reward from Christ when he returns or will be punished by him. We do not consider God's economy that much. The entire book of Psalms, from the first point to the last point, reveals that Christ is altogether for God's economy. He died for us in order to accomplish God's economy. He saves us in order to accomplish God's economy. He also lives in us that we may live in him for God's economy. This is why we are not only the church, the body of Christ, but also the kingdom of Christ of God. The kingdom of God is the accomplishment of God's economy. We all have to realize that the Christian life is a life that is for God's economy.